Okay, I gotta get rid of this message. There we go. Okay, timing. It'll take about a year to build the network. Connect Maine, the source of broadband grants, they're kind of in disarray because of the new connectivity authority. It's slow getting going, and that's putting it nicely. But Connect Maine really want to award grant money in the spring. We're watching the situation closely. The best we can say is that we might have a working network in the summer of 2023. We don't act now, of course. It'll be even later, probably much later. Now, important dates. The Board of Selectmen is holding a workshop on the warrant on Wednesday, December 1st, on the town Zoom account. 6 o'clock, the Board of Selectmen meeting. There's a special town meeting on Saturday, the 4th. Is that a week from today, 2 weeks from today? At 9 o'clock at the Rec Center. We'll be voting on the authority to apply for the bond at that meeting, among other things. That's about all I have to say, except for one more thing. I hear rumors. Surprise. I want to tell you very seriously that no one's going to get rich from this plan. None of us on the committee, or as far as I know, anyone on the island, have any investment in Axiom. That's all I really want to say, so I think it's now time for questions. Which is the real point of this exercise.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's this bond that looked like it was close to $1 million that the town would have to commit to. Am I understanding that correctly? Okay.
The bond, what the bonding authority is for close to $1 million. You're right. Because we thought that if it came out, we didn't get quite as much grant as we expected, and it came out a little short, it would be really too bad if we just didn't have the authority to go on to bonds like that difference. The town would have to commit to it, but Axiom will commit in their contract to paying us, the town, enough money each year to cover that principal and interest payment that will be due.
And if we don't like Axiom or Axiom goes out of business, we're stuck with this?
Well, there are several other companies that do just this, that run internet networks. That's the business they're in. And an operating network is going to look very attractive to one of those companies. So I don't think we'd be stuck with it.
Would a finer point on that, if Axiom were to disappear and a working network is here on the island serving 200, 300 households, the debt service payment would be a very, very low entry cost for somebody to come in and take over that existing network. It would be a plum.
Yeah. Lila?
I'm muting, so thank you. Would you walk us through why Consolidated did not apply, or if it did, what went wrong? Last meeting that I attended at the Board of Selectmen, when this warrant article was actually being drafted, there were questions about whether Consolidated was going to be given a chance to submit a bid, or I don't know how things ended on that part of it. We have just Axiom that's in the final warrant.
Okay, yes, Axiom is what's in the warrant because that's what we came down on. There were two other bids which we decided weren't as good. But Consolidated, for reasons of their own, decided not to submit. Then when the question was raised at a Board of Selectmen meeting, the consensus, more or less, of the board was that Justin was asked to give him a call, give Nevins of Consolidated a call, and see what he said. So we be interested in hearing what they had to say. He never responded. We never got any later response from Consolidated. So I, in some ways, I can't answer your question. I don't know why they didn't do it, but.
Does anyone have a clue? Because that seems very strange to me when they already have fiber on the island and they're serving quite a lot of households here.
But they're not serving them with fiber, really. But they're serving them basically with the DSL, like the rest of us.
Well, isn't the line to the commons fiber optic?
Yes, yes, it's fiber, and they're paying a pretty penny for it, which is a lot more than residential service. I have a couple of comments. First of all, Consolidated was interested in a bid by which they would own the internet service. They would own the cables. They would own basically the network. The broadband committee was and still is of the opinion that infrastructure should be owned by the island, by the residents of the island. And when Consolidated asked if they could submit a bid that would involve a Consolidated owned network, we responded that our preference would be an island owned network. And the response from Consolidated is, and I quote fairly closely, "In that case, we're not interested." So they did opt out on that condition. And the second point that I'd like to make is one of personal observation. They've got an awful lot of other projects going on around the state, and I think they just didn't want to be bothered with a little island in Casco Bay.
I would add one thing to that. The deal they originally offered Long Island was that Long Island would own the basic network, the cables that went around the island, and Consolidated would own the drops, the connection that between that network and individual houses.
Right.
And that what that means is that the town would own the network, but Consolidated would own the subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give the town really very little resource if Consolidated weren't doing what they were supposed to. In fact, it didn't play out that way, because there's a complicated story on Long Island. And I can go into that if you want, but that was the original deal. And that was what they were sort of thinking of with us too.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know because we never received a proposal, correct?
That's correct.
And Lila, we haven't met yet, but—
Hi, Adam. I've seen you speak a number of times in the past. So
I also wanted to add that I reached out to Consolidated four times, and they responded one time, and I requested a proposal, and they never provided one.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do business with people who like to do business with me, and as a member of this committee, you know, we evaluated the other proposals, including some proposals from other bidders. Yeah,
saw your evaluation.
You know, so we felt like, you know, at least my view of it was, again, I want to do business with people who want to do business with me. And Consolidated made it pretty clear to us, at least to me, they weren't interested in us. So I was comfortable moving on without them when we asked them that question, will you submit a bid? And they said no.
Beverly,
you're muted.
Yeah. The thing I don't understand is they've run a cable up to the commons, and I don't understand why they haven't offered it at a decent rate to people. Instead, it's like $230, $220 a month. Plus, you have to subscribe. There's all kinds of bells and whistles you have to go through. If they really cared about Shebig and wanted to do something with Shebig, I would have thought that they would have started selling it as a normal rate. It's really unacceptable for people of normal means to be able to be part of their system right now, as far as I can see. The other comment that I was going to make is back in 2016, David and I met with French Scott, as well as David Nevins. We talked to them about the possibility of Fairpoint. Back then it was Fairpoint. Possibly, we knew we couldn't compete. We talked to them about taking over our business. They said, well, they kind of hemmed and hawed, and he said, well, they'll get back to us. And they were not interested at all at that time with working with us. I have a couple of emails back from them, and pretty much said there was no reason for them to take over ours, because they were going to get them anyways, because they were on the island and they could outdo anything that we could offer. And that's pretty much what we got from them back then. And thank goodness that Mark came to us and said he would take over our business. And one other point is, as Mark was mentioned at the beginning, is that David and I do not get any monetary, we did not get any monetary thing from Axiom, or do we have any kind of stocks or anything with Axiom. We will not make anything. The one thing we will lose, as well as the other investors, original investors, will be free internet. So as a matter of fact, David and I will have to start paying for internet once the fiber is put in, as well as the other stockholders, the original stockholders.
Yeah, well, I'm one of the original stockholders, and yeah. Evan is enjoying those perks, but I am mystified by this failure of Axiom to become involved, because there will have to be a partnership, right? You have to partner with them today. The cable coming over to the island is critical to this, and Consolidated is on that cable, right?
Mark, you want to speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. So we do have a wholesale agreement with Consolidated to provide bulk bandwidth to the island. That occurred several years ago when it became clear that the wireless system that was originally put in place was not as reliable as a fiber cable to the island. And so we subscribed or partnered with Consolidated to do that. We do that in a variety of places all over Maine, with Consolidated as well as other wholesale companies. So not just Consolidated exclusively. Their wholesale division is completely separate from their retail division. So none shall the two meet. So the wholesale division considers us a premium. I can't remember how to describe it, partner or something, some sort of term that they use. Because we work with them so reasonably on the wholesale side, so I don't think there's going to be any threat to anything that's going to happen on the wholesale side. We have the same situation in Cranberry Isles, and we've competed with them and reduced their foothold on Cranberry Isles almost to nothing with a wholesale connection that we pay for by them. So we do very well there, and we've taken almost all of their customers. I think they're left with about 30 customers on one of the three islands there, maybe 40 customers on one of the main islands. Axiom has everything else there, and we have a wholesale connection just like we do on Chabig. So I don't see that as being much of a major issue for your island as we move forward.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, Broadband One, which again was looking at town ownership, that Consolidated was not interested in and didn't respond as well. And as we've done things like get fiber to the, in researching fiber to the Historical Society and a couple of other projects that I've worked on, they stated to me they would only work if they could own the infrastructure. So I think I can't speak for them, but there, the evidence is backs up what you guys have found out too, that there wasn't any interest. And I think it's good for people to remember that we're about a fifth the size of Yarmouth. So if you're out there and it's kind of the Wild West out there and you're out there trying to find new customers, and you're looking to please a board which will control a lot of people. I only use Yarmouth because it was easy to look up. One other thing I just wanted to jump, and I realize I'm probably preaching to the choir because I'm for this. I think there's a number of things that are in place. I do think that you can't, when you have a 20-year factor in something, it is a hard decision. But one thing that I did take exception with, it boiled out after one of the meetings a couple times ago, was the word free. And I think it's a very dangerous word. Free is used in persuasion because it'll cut through a pea soup fog more than any other word. And the idea that something might be free, to kind of compare it, people compare it to Long Island. They're comparing it to something over there, and the word free came up. And I think that's more like saying there's no down payment. In any business model, everything has to be paid for one way or the other. And in their case, they have a 20-year agreement, I think, last as I understand it, with Consolidated. They will be paying Consolidated money for 20 years. So they're in a sense borrowing money from Consolidated is not having a down payment. They're building it out, and they're going to be making some kind of money off of this that will go to offset their infrastructure costs. That's the way any for-profit business works. We would be borrowing it from a bank at a fixed rate that would be known for 20 years exactly what we're going to pay. So I did have exception to that. I know people on this call probably wouldn't, would agree, but I think as we go forward, that word free was something that kind of gnawed at me for a while. That's it.
Good point. Susan.
Just for my own education here, what is the advantage? I guess you got to understand, I'm coming from the concern of the town taking, again, there's a commitment here that the town's making. Why do we need to own this versus letting the companies that work in this business own the infrastructure?
The simple answer is that the companies that work in this business don't want to own this infrastructure. There's too much infrastructure for too few people.
But
even Consolidated
didn't want to come over unless they did own the infrastructure. So that's what I'm getting a little confused about.
That is confusing. That's not really the case. Consolidated wanted the town to own the basic infrastructure, the long wires that go around the island. They wanted to own the little connections to each subscriber.
Okay.
And what that does is that gives them a lock on the position.
Okay.
You see, the advantage of the town, and our point was that if the town is going to own it, it should own the whole works, including those drops, because that's what gives us the leverage on the provider. Without that, we've got no leverage.
And that leverage leads to the rate structure for the community. That rate structure, the way we're envisioning it, is going to be negotiated between Axiom and the town, as opposed to dictated by some third party who takes what they can and there's no recourse. There's also the question of working with underprivileged families and getting internet to them. The whole idea of actually a community owned and operated system that works on behalf of the community.
So I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Are we going to need to hire someone in the town that's going to manage this? And so we'll have that expense to go with it as well?
No, I don't think so. Because Axiom is going to manage it. They're going to run the system. We will probably have a standing committee, a small committee, like two or three people, who will be a liaison in a sense. And I would suppose report to the Board of Selectmen if there are any problems, or if maybe on some basis, quarterly or every half year or something like that. That's how I envision it anyway.
Susan, I want to come back to your question because I think it was a very good question about public versus private ownership. And in the community that I live in full-time, we had a similar issue in that we had a part of a piece of infrastructure, a water system that we owned, It took us 40 years to get rid of. And I was thinking, I came into this board saying, why would we want to own the infrastructure? But in reviewing and going through this, there's just too few people to be able to make a market big enough to have competition in. So once you get past maybe a third to a half of the consumers having only one provider, then no other provider is going to want to be out here. There are not enough people left. So in having community ownership, it almost felt like a union argument to me. Now we've all banded together. We are all able to hold Mr. Ouellette to his word. And if he's unable to meet our service levels, we can take the entire package to somebody else who can. And instead of carving up, 100 houses with this company and 100 houses with Spectrum and 100 houses with Consolidated, we have the ability to take 400 homes or however many there are that end up getting wired and saying, here is the whole package. We can negotiate in one bulk rate as opposed to trying to get two or three smaller companies to compete against each other. And I just don't think there's enough density and enough people to realistically expect competitors to compete for us.
And along those lines, if I may, one of the precepts that we've had since day one is equal service for available to everybody on the island. So if somebody who lives out on the end of Deer Point wants the internet, they'll get it for the same rate at the same installation as anybody else sitting in the center of the island next to the central location.
Come on, meeting.
I think that's very important to the health of this community.
The other thing is, as I said before, that no company wants to come out here and own the system. It's just too much. They figure it's going to cost close to $1.5 million to build it. Well, the profit you can envision from projected signups in the first couple of years is on the order of $10,000, which is not a very big return for $1.5 million. No company, you can get more money than that a lot of places. And so we're not going to be on the top of anybody's list. Finally, when everybody else has broadband in the world, maybe they'll get around to us. That's my opinion about it. Anyway.
Michael?
Yes.
Isn't it true that either Connect Maine or the Island Institute strongly recommends community ownership? I know there was some leadership recommendations from groups like that sort of helped lead the committee as well.
That's true, yes. The Connect Maine has said that in looking at grants, they would prefer community or joint communities, several communities getting together as they do on the mainland, over proprietary company ownership.
And somebody is going to get that grant money, right? Some communities are going to get that grant money. And in my view, as a member of the board, I would rather that grant money, that 30% or whatever, was used to offset the community's cost rather than put in Consolidated or Axiom or anyone else's pocket.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Beverly, yeah.
I just want to go back to 2006 and 2005 when we were all desperate, and David and I went to every company there is in Maine to possibly begging people to come and give us internet and do something here. And they all had the same answer. Too few people, too big of a distance between houses. No way anybody's gonna make any money. And it was just impossible. So we had to do it on our own. The other thing, when we did start, it was the equal for all. Everybody had one up and one down. Vail Trainer down the West End had one up and one down. She can't even get one up and one down with DSL on the West End. And this is really or down at Deer Point, you're just not going to be able to get a company to go in and spend the money to get the lines down to the end of Deer Point. They're not going to make any money on it. They're going to lose on that. They don't want to invest in something that they're going to be losing money on. And there's just too few people and too few houses to make any money what they want to make, as far as I can see. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff.
Hey there. Thank you for putting this public meeting on. Can you talk about what the opt-out clauses are in the contract with Axiom? If there is a, you know, a drop in subscribership or whatever, what are the reasons that Axiom could opt out of this contract and leave us stuck with the, you know, the principal and interest payment?
I can't really answer that because I don't have the contract yet. But I don't know, Mark, do you want to speak to that?
I've never been asked that question. I don't leave markets, actually. I've never left a market. We've been in business for 18 years. So I don't perceive any risk in us leaving the market. We currently have about somewhere around 240 customers on the island. And I can't imagine that those 240 customers, once we put in fiber, they'll all be retained. And then we'll get additional customers beyond that. And I think we'll have a very healthy system. So I don't perceive any issue, any reason for us leaving the island per se. I guess it's possible. I don't see, and frankly, I strongly believe that there will be no other competition on the island. It will be, it'll be consolidated DSL, and it would be town-owned fiber. And in every case where I've done that, town-owned fiber wins significantly. And in fact, one island I'm working on now, Monhegan Island, we're set to put in the system, and we're negotiating negotiating is even a strong word. Consolidated has told us they're going to leave the island entirely.
So, Jeff, were you more interested in our ability to leave them, or or concerned about their ability to leave us?
No, I was concerned about their ability to leave us if there is a drop in subscribership. Say hypothetically, 5 years from now, Starlink is far more affordable, and people switch to that, like they switch to satellite TV versus cable, and leave us stuck with, you know, the taxpayer stuck with the bill. I commend this committee a lot for putting together a proposal that there is no burden to the taxpayer. I think that's great. And I want to vote for it, but I want to make sure that there is no burden on the taxpayer, not just now, but 5 years from now either.
Well, part of the answer to that is that Axiom will be, I don't anticipate the contract having opt-out clauses from Axiom, and they will guarantee the debt service payments. So I guess if they decide to leave, it would be in essentially defaulting on the contract, and that would be something we could deal with as a default. I think it's a very unlikely contingency, frankly.
Jeff, I also think that kind of like almost like a mortgage payment on a house or on a car, and the longer we are able to keep the system going, when we get into the 15th year of a 20-year bond, the cost of living and cost of inflation and all those things have far outpaced our payments to this system, it's going to end up being, I think, less expensive on a sort of a dollar-for-dollar basis than you pay now. You know, 15 years from now. And as you get to the end of the life cycle and you're closer to owning it, it feels like it gets to be less expensive. And I feel like, although, you know, Starlink and other service providers are out there, maybe we'll have wireless tree, you know, we'll have Wi-Fi from trees in 15 years, who knows? But I think that the durability of fiber optic connections have been around for quite a while. And if you look at the DSL that's been on the island, some of it for nearly 100 years, you know, some of those copper cables have been on a very long time. I feel like we're going to make it those 20 years. That's my sense.
Yeah. David, yeah.
Building on those comments, the committee spent quite a bit of time evaluating alternatives such as Starlink, such as satellite and so forth. And I think Chip can attest to the fact that Starlink isn't quite what it's built up to be. And you made the reference to cable TV versus satellite. Well, we don't have cable TV. That's why we have satellite. And I think the satellite TV is, you know, it's not a good analogy to the satellite internet service that's available out there. So, one other thing I wanted to mention, of course, I can't remember it now. So I'll pass the baton.
I can speak a little bit about Starlink. I've had one for 5-6 months, and that it can work well if you have a line of sight. It will drop out quickly. When it gives up, it gives up and it disappears. Obviously, for certain people who have nothing, it can work on it. But I don't see it as the one thing about Starlink is its proprietary hardware and its proprietary software. And it's like your Verizon phone. It's not proprietary hardware, but their software, their system is proprietary. You have no control over them. We have no control over Verizon. Cell service is terrible out here. So I think the thing about Starlink is that it also, from compared to a technology which has been around 40 years, which I've seen how you can splice cables together. We've been using it for 20 years on the island, fiber. It also gives us control. Starlink, you have no control. It's proprietary hardware and software, or for any of the other things that they talk about. And that, to me, doesn't, when you're looking at any of these proposals and you multiply it times 20 years, one or two degrees of error up front can become more in 20 years. So I don't know. The Starlink, it worked well, but I haven't seen anything that said it's also expensive. And I don't see why, you know, it's $100 a month now. So anyway, that's that.
Lila?
Yeah. I have Starlink out of desperation, and I didn't even tell my husband I was going to try it. But it is not making a case for itself that it does all the things that we're talking about wanting to have. It's a beta version. It's a test version of exactly what Chip is describing. And it is not certainly a solution for Shabig. I'm using it. I have pretty good line of sight. I also have Axiom, and I have got Consolidated at another house. It's sort of like women using multiple forms of birth control at the same time. We've all started to go a little bit crazy about this because we have tried and waited so long to have something that would really work. Yep. And let's make something happen, folks.
Yeah, the other thing about any satellite system, unless you're the military, is the uplink speed is going to be less because you don't have a powerful transmitter, a great big antenna sitting in your yard.
Well, and actually, the up is much, much faster than anything we have on Shabig.
Well, yes, but it's not faster compared. It's not 50 megabits per second, probably.
No, but it gets close. But I don't think we should even be talking about Starlink.
No, okay.
I didn't mean to start a debate about Starlink versus broadband. I get it. You said it, Lila, that Starlink's in beta version, but it's also, you know, so new that the price, like everything, comes down after a while, potentially. So if it does, I just wanted to make sure that, you know,
right.
If 200 people switch to it, because it's turned out in 10 years from now, it is cheaper.
Sure.
You know,
and who knows
what there wasn't an opt-out from Axiom. That was the only reason I brought it up. There are other options. They may potentially get cheaper. You can't end up having the burden go back to the taxpayer if Axiom drops out. That's all
right.
I wanted to know. Yeah. So what is the contract written? Is it a public document? Is it,
It's
something we'll be able to see before
really,
we vote on it.
It doesn't exist yet. I haven't even looked at it, haven't opened it, and by email, a draft. Okay. There's still stuff to be negotiated, and there's going to be for a while because we don't know anything about the grant situation at this point. So anything that has numbers in it is going to be, has got to wait.
Yeah, and
trying to put a whole lot of balls in the air without, we sort of know what we're doing. We know what the principles are. We know what Axiom is willing to commit to. But when it gets down to numbers, and that's what you need for a contract, you just can't do it.
That draft contract, we will be, Mark might have something to say too. When we get, I guess there are a couple of pieces to it that Mark may address, but they will be made public on Beverly's website as soon as we have them, probably this week. Mark, did you want to comment on that?
Well, I just want to say I've been asked for a contract many times, and I apologize for not getting it in time for this meeting. There are two contracts involved. One is just a strict construction contract, build contract, and the second is what we'd call a partnership agreement, franchise agreement, whatever, the direct agreement with the town and all of the different details, Jeff, that you are thinking about potentially or describing or what's being described about what Axiom is promising will be within that document. So seeing that, I think, is a good next step from our perspective. And it's just taking me a lot longer than I thought to put it together. It's funny because each town that I've got about 10 communities right now that I'm working with under this exact same model. And each town has a little bit of tweak, a little bit of change, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's like salt and pepper all the time. And so I'm just really have to concentrate and review every last word. So it's taking me a little bit longer than I expected. So my apologies, but you should be able to see it. We are a super transparent company. We're happy to show it to people, happy to be banged around on it. Not a problem from our perspective. But as Michael said, he just got literally I worked on it today, finished it up today, the first one, the construction contract. And again, some of those numbers will be a little bit fuzzy until we get to a vote, till we learn some other things. There's some other things that will need to have to happen, but it's a pretty good first draft, really good, frankly, first draft. I think it's 95% of the way there. Numbers may change a little bit, but generally speaking, that's good. And then the franchise agreement should have all of these different elements that we described, having a truck on the island, what the rates are, what Axiom's responsibilities are towards the town, what the town's responsibilities are towards Axiom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And Jeff, Mark doesn't know this yet, but I've negotiated franchise agreements with people like Verizon before. So I look forward to digging into this one.
Construction contract before the vote or not?
Watch out, Mark.
Suhail, what was that?
I was just concerned, can we have the contracts to review before we can vote on it?
Yes, I think so. Vote is not till December 4th. Mark, is that reasonable? Mark says yes. Well, the first one, I have the first one, the construction contract, though I haven't read it. And I think we'll get the other one shortly.
And what is the town review process of those contracts?
Well, that I don't know. The Board of Selectmen basically, what it, as it was described to me, is that we and the source, case Mark, get up a draft, and then it goes to the lawyer. And then what happens after that, I don't know. The Board of Selectmen ultimately has to, of course, approve it because they're the contracting authority.
I
can speak to that a little bit. Step one, of course, is the vote on December the 4th. And assuming a positive vote at that point, we'll begin negotiations, acceptance, revision, et cetera, between Axiom and the Board of Selectmen. I don't think it's going to be a long process, but there is that negotiation to take place.
A little bit of an unusual situation with your town that you're asking for contract drafts before you even vote to accept the warrant article. It's not happened before in my experience. Typically, the town will negotiate and look at the contracts and such after there's a positive vote or negative, whatever, a vote. So that, but that said, no worry in us trying to get it done. It's just, it's taken me quite a little bit longer than I thought to put it together. And I'll look forward to that negotiation with Adam also.
I think Adam thinks I'm too easy on you, Mark.
Probably true. Somebody always does. Somebody always thinks somebody's too easy with us. That's fine. That's not a problem.
So I know that a lot of the folks in this group are head nodders and people who have been around this a while and who are interested in it. But what I'm interested in is hearing from the skeptics and hearing from the people who've talked to the skeptics. And if there are folks who don't have the information we'd like them to have, who do we still need to talk to? Who's not in the room now? How do we get to those folks?
Good question.
You are opposing it or?
No, I'm asking how I'm in favor. I've worked hard for the last 4 or 5 months with these folks and I want to see this succeed because I'm concerned about what happens if it doesn't. But I am also concerned that the people that dial into this meeting are only, 20 or 15 of us, and most of us have been around us enough to already want this to happen. I'm most concerned about the people who are not dialed into this and who are not hearing this message. How do we reach them? And if you are in touch with them, what should we be doing to reach out to them?
That's a very good question. And we asked ourselves that when we had the first round of the first broadband committee effort. I remembered at the time how Islesboro had a long period of actually going house to house, kitchen table chats with people, listening to people. Two people who had worked on the island with a young guy, as well as the mastermind of where they were going with fiber. We never did that on Shabig. We haven't been part of that face-to-face kind of over the kitchen table discussion. And there is opposition. And I do worry that if this gets voted down, where do we go there? We'll become famous for broadband, Rambo 3 and 4. So it's a very, very important question, Adam, how you can reach out and communicate.
Right. So how do we get into kitchen counters and kitchen tables and do that?
You still have time.
Bev?
That's a good question. I'm feeling the same way you are, Adam and Lila. I see a lot of people here today that are for it. I'm not sure who's against it, but I also have been hearing rumors that I wanted to dispel when we came on, such that David and I were going to make all kinds of money on this. And that's why I wanted to be here to dispel that rumor. Well, I don't think I have to dispel that rumor to anybody that's on this committee because you guys know us. It's the people that don't know us and don't realize that that's not true. There's misconceptions out there, just like with anything. And I don't know how to get out there and do that. I was hoping those people would be here today.
I can tell you some of
the questions.
Oh, I tell you, people know that I'm involved, obviously, because it's a public matter. And everywhere I go, people come up and talk to me, whether they're for it or against it. And in many cases, they're against it. They think it's a bad idea, and I can manage to get them around, at least to a neutral position. So it happens on the bowl, on the wharf, at the slow bill, wherever you go, it happens.
Common sense usually prevails in these kind of discussions, but to be impartially and to everybody and on the community, I think if we just can think for 1 second, if the other organizations or companies proposed whether we own it or we didn't own it, it would have been very, very good for and transparent for all these companies to offer how much will it cost and what will it be, so that it will be transparent to everybody to understand whether Consolidated wanted to own it or not to own it, what was involved in their proposal, which we don't know. And that is, I think, affecting the community.
They did do a report.
Yeah, we did a report.
And with comparisons.
We did a report with the comparisons. All the proposals that we receive are on Beverly's website in the broadband section. So they're there. And they were not all very forthcoming about how much it would cost, I must say. But nonetheless, all the proposals we received are there.
David? And if I might, I do urge everybody to go to Beverly's website and find the link and look at all the documents that we received. Take a look at all sorts of information that's there. Bill Nimitz's column on why the state of Maine needs to move forward with broadband and so forth. And really what it boils down to on Shebig, I think, are two simple concepts that the whole program is based upon. Number one concept is that only those who want it will pay for it. Those who don't want it will not have to pay for it. They can do whatever other alternative they can find. And the second point is that if you're not paying for it, you're not paying for it in your taxes either. There's no increase in taxes. There's a burden on the town for the debt, but that debt is going to be covered by Axiom. So very simple. If you don't want it, you don't have to pay for it. And I think that is really the hallmark of this proposal compared to anybody else's in the past here and pretty much anywhere else, I'd be willing to bet.
So that last point, that it will not be in your taxes, I think is a big issue here. And can you guarantee that? Because the town is the one that's putting their money up. They're putting the bond out there. If all implodes, we're stuck with that. And okay, that for me is a real scary nut to take on in this very small town of $1 million tied into this when, you know, we're not gonna have to pay that piece. I'm not yet convinced that we're not ultimately responsible if all else implodes.
Well, that is, okay, two things.
A very good point. And I would ask Mark to talk about what's going to be in the contract and Axiom's obligation to service that debt.
Just a minute, David. Let me speak to that first, because there's a point of substance here that's kind of being missed. The bonding authority we're asking for is $975,000, yes. The bond itself is expected to be somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000. So we're not really looking at it. I mean, that difference is significant, I think.
Well, now, still a lot of money.
Oh, it's a lot of money, yes. But
good luck.
If it all implodes, if the whole economy goes to pieces, if Axiom wrote, and there's no other company, then we're stuck with it. But we do all kinds of things with contractual obligations with suppliers of various kinds. And they mostly were. I mean, it's a contract. Okay.
I have a question for you. Adam, I agree with you totally. It's what you don't know that you need to know. And I'm wondering, you know, we don't have the happenstance physical encounter that we have at the level that we used to have it. Would it be possible to, if you took each person on the call today, on this today, and they were willing to call five people. And this is it's clear when you call somebody, you're not trying to persuade them towards your opinion. All you're doing is trying to find out a couple of their major concerns and just pick two of them. Possibly if they would then do the same, you could have a kind of a call tree. You can always do Survey Monkeys, but I think one thing that that does is it tends to be, as an example of this, the people who show up are the ones who are more or less for it. And you want to talk to the people who might not be. So it's not to persuade them. It's not a political call saying vote for my candidate. It's really trying to help the town figure out what they need to address. So it's you know, I don't know. I'd certainly be willing to call some people and report it. The results can be anonymous. I mean, we don't have to report who said what. You boil it down into maybe five categories that you guys can address or make sure you're addressing. So just a thought.
So, Mark? Yeah, Mark?
So, yeah, thank you. So just a couple of things, because I've heard it spoken about in several ways. And I just wanted to give everybody a little bit of a different thought. And I don't want to be too much of a tryhard here. The town's going to do what it's going to do. And I have a vested interest in seeing the town be successful, because it'll make me successful, right? Because I'm the guy on the warrant who will be the company. So feel free to take me with a very large grain of salt and or disregard what I'm going to say altogether. It's perfectly fine from my perspective. I think it's very clear that when we're asking for a bond that's going to be supported by the town, that there's risk. Let's be clear about that. There is a risk to the town that bond doesn't get paid for by Axiom or by other means, and therefore taxes would have to be raised at some point in the future if the whole thing collapsed or whatever Axiom left or variety of things. I think the wrong way to think about that risk is to force Axiom into or try to force Axiom into a contract that says, you will pay no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter when you are, no matter how you are. I think the risk needs to be thought about in a different way. And every community that I'm working with grapples with this idea, this question, because all of the models that I'm working on are working under this model that we're discussing today with Axiom. And I have literally 8 or 10 communities that are going to be building in the next year that are operating under this model. The difference between their situations and yours is, for Shabig, I've guaranteed the payment. I haven't even guaranteed the payments for the other communities. And the reason I guarantee the payment here is because I feel like the community spirit that Shabig.net brought to the island all those years ago are still with us today as we sit here. And my commitment to Bev and Dave is not monetary in any way, but it's a commitment to the idea that Shabig.net did something very special for not just your community at the time, but actually for the state. And by leading the way in understanding better what a community broadband system can bring to a community. So as we sit here today, the problem with that approach over time was we ended up having to provide service on very old copper DSL lines that are not very reliable or good. And so I feel very confident that with the new fiber optics, that we're going to have not only a substantial uptick in the number of customers who take the service, but I also believe that by making it community-led, that more people who are involved in the community and believe in keeping Shabig vibrant will also take service to help the system stay vibrant and ensure that the taxpayer is not overly at risk. I can't guarantee with 100% certainty anything that's going to happen 10 years from now. All I can do is offer you my sincere, literally, as a person who I live in Scarborough, so who lives nearby, who's just a regular guy trying to give towns good service, that I am 1,000% committed to Shabig and to do the right thing. I believe we've always felt we've always done that for Shabig. I'm totally transparent. I'm comfortable with in my own skin and what I'm trying to do with my company. And I'm really anxious and excited about what we can do with Shabig together. But ultimately, there's going to be a vote, and you all are going to have to assess the risk of whether or not working with Axiom is a good idea or not. And all I can do is offer my sincerest sort of approach to this and say, I really am giving a lot to the community to try to make you comfortable that we're going to be there for the long haul. We've been in business for 18 years. We've not filed bankruptcy within that 18 years. We've not changed hands from one company to another, like some of the other companies in our communities. So we're here and we're locally owned, we're locally run, and I'm hoping that will make you proud should you vote yes.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Mark.
I'll say one other thing. A lot of towns have put up signs around their community to talk about this thing, literally like campaign signs, like vote yes on one kind of thing, or vote or talk to us about broadband or something like that. That might spur you on as a community to get to Adam's point, to start to dig into some of the folks who may not be paying attention, but they're going to pay attention in the last week before you vote. And you may want to do some public outreach in a variety of ways and around that to ensure that people at least have an option to call you, Michael, or the committee or others to talk about this. You're pretty close-knit community. I mean, you all know each other, relatively speaking. Maybe you don't like each other, but you all know each other. I don't know. I work on a lot of islands. I mean, just to be clear, I work on a lot of islands. And, I'm used to this kind of process on an island, which is different than on the mainland. Let's be clear. Islands are a little different than the mainland and special in their own way. And I mean that in a good way, literally. I really do.
Yeah, we did put posters up advertising this meeting and the process and the vote on the 4th. We're also sending a flyer out just for information for full of urging people to vote. So they have something in their hands, but maybe they don't want to go look it up on the internet.
Or can't look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's hard for people to speak out loud at a meeting like this, right, with lots of other people, especially if you're not comfortable. So I really commend the questions from Susan and Jeff and others, because I think it's a challenge, you know, when you have people who may have doubts or concerns. I mean, they need to have an outlet to be able to speak. And I know, Michael, you get that on the boat and in other places, but the more you can give them that option, the more you'll learn.
Yeah, Beverly.
One thing that hasn't been brought up is the fact that I believe the Cranberries had, the town voted to spend $1.2 million or something like that for broadband. And they were able to get all that money through grants back. So it actually didn't cost them that amount of money. Am I correct about that? And that's a possibility with the amount of money that's out there from the federal government, from the state, that we may be able to get a lot of that money.
I think that's right. I think we've just applied for or pre-applied for $200,000 from the town, from the Cumberland County, and that we didn't expect. And in between now and when we can actually do something, when they get around to awarding Connect Maine grants, there may be piles of money just dropping down from almost anywhere because the situation is changing about every week, it seems.
Piles of money, huh, Michael? Yeah. Piles of it.
Piles of money. Piles of something, anyway.
I would just say that we, Axiom has had a lot of success with grant monies. And we are currently working with several communities that we were successful with USDA Reconnect monies that got 75% of their project paid for by those funds. That's a USDA program. We're currently have three communities, including Isle of Hope, pending with NTIA, in which the state is putting in the additional 10% match from the, that the communities or Axiom would have had to put up because they are municipally owned and the state is supporting municipally owned systems. So if those three projects are successful, those three towns are successful through that NTIA grant, they will get 100% grant from the state and the feds. In one case with the town of Georgetown, we applied for and received about $800,000 out of a $2.7 million project from the state. And they're going to get built this year. They're getting built now. We've ordered all the materials. So there's a lot of places where when you say, I like the way Michael said it, falling out of the sky, there are going to be increasing number of places where dollars could potentially, and the eligibility of Shabig, I believe, is there to allow for us to try to radically reduce the overall cost of the project and make it more affordable. But again, assessing the risk of that, let's be clear, nothing's guaranteed, right? I can only show you what I've been successful with in the past. And I believe that you have the opportunity to be successful here, but you will be competing against every other community in Maine. And trust me, I have a lot of communities that I'm working with. So that said, I mean, there's historic amounts of money, let's put it that way, for broadband. The state's gonna have over 200, they're saying they believe they're gonna have over $250 million for rural broadband. That's a number unheard of in our state.
Yeah, we lucked out. We lost out, unfortunately, on the NTIA because the state decided to make the strongest application it could. It wouldn't include anybody in Cumberland County and maybe a couple of other counties because they're too urban, too near, and they wanted a really really far out rural communities. But there are other sources, as you say. Lila, I think you had a hand up a minute ago.
Yeah. This committee has all of you on the committee, and those who have had to drop off need to be commended on all of the effort that you've put into this. And I know that that takes time. That is a very important resource. We don't have the capacity in the town office to be writing grants or even researching grants well. To compete effectively in what Mark is describing, there will need to be some professional help to do that. Bev Johnson is here, is the Leeds Recompense Fund, and that is one thing that we have been thinking about and trying to make available possible funds that could help not just the town but other nonprofits of Shabig. The Island Institute is able also to help identify the kind of grant writers who have been successful elsewhere. So very quickly, Shabig, I think, is going to need some real help in that department if this vote is a positive one and we're going forward.
I agree. Thank you.
I think that the grants that I've written are a heavy, heavy lift. And it takes all working hard together to be successful. That said, at the state level, the grants are not as hard as they are at the federal level. The federal grants that I've gotten were super serious, really hard. But we were successful there. It's amazing what happens when you just do the right thing. You say what you need to say, and you answer all the questions, and you check all the boxes. Little Ol' Axiom's done very well. Not so little anyway, by the way. We're going to double our size next year. So we're not so little anymore. We're starting to feel the ear of the, we're starting to get the ear of the big boys now. Spectrum's probably not liking us as much as they used to, nor Consolidated, but it's okay.
Well, thank you, Mark. I hope you all stay as friendly and as approachable as you have been as you grow. I'm sorry I have to leave, but thank you all very much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you all for coming. As further questions, anything else? Oh, thank you for coming. I guess we're, what is it, 4:45? Yes, David.
Let me just mention that at the Board of Selectmen meeting coming up on the 1st of December, there's going to be a discussion about the six, I believe there are six warrant articles that are up for a vote on December the 4th, number six of which, of course, is the broadband discussion. So I would urge, and I like Chip's idea, I would urge all of us to spread the word, to tune in to the Board of Selectmen meeting on December the 1st for a, I would hope, a spirited discussion on this particular issue. And I agree with Mark's remarks about the writing grants. It's really simple. Figure out what they want, give it to them. And I think once we can do that, we'll be in good shape, and I think there's a lot of talent on the island that can help with that effort.
Anybody else? Anything else? Going once, twice, three times? Beverly?
No, I said thank you. Bye.
Yes, thank you. Thank you guys very much for all the work you've done.
Oh, good night. Thank you all for coming.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.